Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The 2018-19 NBA season is officially here with the Bulls Media Day activities out at the Advocate Center. I'm Mark Schanowski, joined by Will Perdue and Kendall Gill on the Bulls Talk podcast. We've got lots to talk about heading into the start of two-a-day practice sessions for the Bulls. Let's start out with that. Training camp isn't what it used to be, guys. I mean, they don't have a lot of two-a-days. What was it like back in your day?
Well, I specifically remember you started practice on Friday, usually the first Friday of October, and then the first preseason game was usually the following Saturday, if I remember correctly.
Had 1 week.
And pretty much every day was two-a-days. There was no day off. It was two-a-days every day. And a day off was, okay, the second practice is only going to be an hour. But you knew it was basically seven straight days, 14 practices, and then the preseason starts.
And then you had to have the meditation sessions with Phil, right?
Well, that was
the Zen session in a darkened room.
Once we started winning championships and then Phil got a little more power, we started doing some odd stuff. Phil was trying to find ways to shorten the day.
Yeah.
So I remember the 1 year we had two practices, but they provided lunch and then the Zen session.
Okay.
So we had the first practice from 10 to 12, then lunch, then the Zen session, and then the second practice was from like 2 to 4. So we were basically only there from like 9 to 4, 9 to 5 instead of coming in twice.
Did anybody ever fall asleep during one of these things?
Oh, all the time. Yeah. We need to get – when we start having Horace back on during the games, Horace would literally pass out and start snoring. And then Phil would get so mad because then you couldn't focus. Everybody would just start laughing.
Right.
And it would basically
– like a bunch of kids in kindergarten.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
What?
So we can tell the people. So basically what he would do was we'd go in, lay out yoga mats, and then he would get chairs. And then you would lay on the yoga mat, and then you would stick your feet up on the chair to relax your back. And then he would start talking and, you know, mentally imagine. And next thing you know, and then everybody would just start giggling. And he would get so mad because then he'd have to wake Horace up. And then it was just kind of it defeated the whole purpose. And then our second practice was total garbage.
That's how a championship team is built. Yeah. Kelly, you got any stories from training camp that stick out?
Yeah, because of the 1 week straight or 14 practices of two-a-days, John Calipari, for some odd reason, decided to have training camp in Florida at Saddlebrook Tennis Club down there in Tampa. It was so hot there that I cramped up. My whole body cramped up. They had to call an ambulance to come and get me, and I spent 2 days in the hospital because I cramped up so bad. I tell you what, they said that what I went through was like giving birth to a child. I respect all women. I'm telling you, because if they have to go through that much pain to bring a child in, I mean, you got to give them. But I couldn't do two-a-days after that. So I kind of got a break from training camp. But I tell you what, I went through hell.
So no yoga mats for Coach Cal.
No yoga mats for him, man. Just straight up pain. That's it.
Well, like we said, it's not quite as tough this time around. The Bulls have the one long session in the morning, and then they have a shorter session in the evening for the first week. They've got the first preseason game coming up Sunday, New Orleans Pelicans, Anthony Davis coming to the United Center. But let's talk about some of the objectives at the start of camp. I think the first thing for Fred and his assistants is going to be they got to figure out which 8, 9, maybe 10 guys are going to be there in the rotation and which guys are just going to have to realize I'm not going to get much playing time.
And as he said, that's a good problem to have. But on the other hand, he's got to figure that out, and he's going to make a couple guys mad because of the fact that we've heard Denzel Valentine talk. Not only does he think he deserves to start, he thinks he's a starter. And I think he's probably, as we've discussed throughout the day, he's probably that one guy that's going to get left out. What about Bobby Portis and his minutes because of the situation of how we've seen the improvement from him year to year? Where does that put him? Because of the fact that we know about, you know, Lauri Markkanen. We know they're talking about preparing Jabari Parker at the small forward. They know they're talking about, you know, going small at times. So where does that put him and some of the other guys that they brought in? What about Robin Lopez and with him? Because, you know, we saw what Wendell Carter can do because Fred talks about how the new defensive package is to switch everything out on the perimeter. So how does that affect the minutes of Robin Lopez? So there's a lot of unanswered questions. There's a lot of optimism, which we have because we know how good and how we feel this team, how good they can be because of the talent. But how quickly can they figure all this out and bring it together? Because the other thing is only 5 preseason games. We used to have 8, and we had a good 4 weeks of preseason and then that 1 week before your first game. So you really had 5 weeks before the opening of training camp and your first regular season game. Now they have 3. They got a lot of work to do in a short period of time.
Kendall, I think that small forward position is going to be fascinating to watch.
It is.
Jabari Parker coming in, he's the highest paid player on the team, so he's the starter, right. No matter what they want to say about ultra competitive.
Exactly, which is what I was about, yeah.
I mean, but Justin Holiday, he's a proud veteran. I'm sure he feels like he's probably just as good as Jabari, and he feels like he should be getting minutes. And then you got the first round draft pick, oh, by the way, Chandler Hutchison, a 4-year player at Boise State, who probably thinks I should be getting minutes at that small forward spot.
Yeah, Holiday may feel that way, but he's not better than Jabari.
No, but I mean, you know what it's like.
Yeah, I know what it's like, but, you know, I think that he knows what time it is. You know, Jabari Parker is going to be the guy there. And then I think that his battle was going to be with Chandler Hutchison. I mean, that's where his minutes will come from, and perhaps he may get some minutes at the 2-guard spot, but it's going to be hard because you got Denzel Valentine there as well. And Denzel, because of his ability to play 2 or 3 positions, can get minutes backing up at point guard as well. So John Paxson is right. Yes, they have a lot of competition because they're too deep at every position. However, we know pretty much the guys who are going to play.
We got a chance to talk to some guys individually, and I was impressed with a couple of people. I thought Lauri Markkanen showed a lot more outwardness in talking to the media, and I think he's got a lot of confidence going into year 2. He's ready to take another step in his career. But Zach LaVine kind of blew me away with how confident he is. You know, he tore up the Seattle Pro-Am circuit, scoring all kinds of points this summer. I think that he's feeling really good about that knee. And he wants to show Bulls fans exactly what kind of player he is.
That, and I think that he wants to live up to the contract, as Kendall and I both agree. But I think he even addressed the fact, he goes, because somebody asked him about the defense, and he's like, hold on a minute. I'm a good on-ball defender. I understand I got to work on my off-ball defense. Mm-hmm. So I think he has addressed that personally. And I think that's the area where he really wants to improve the most. So that's what I'm excited to see, what he can do on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah, see, when you have players like that that are self-motivated, it makes it that much more easier to coach them, one, and also, two, to help them improve in areas which they need to improve in. I mean, he's like Kobe, like, so, you know what I mean? How Kobe Bryant wanted to be the best at every facet of his game. I sense that in Zach LaVine. I don't think he'll ever be Kobe Bryant, but it's good that he has that characteristic in him.
We also had a chance to talk to Jabari Parker, who's making a position switch from the power forward to the small forward position. And I know one of his focuses this summer was literally to lose some weight, to be quicker, to be able to guard NBA wings. That's not going to be an easy transition for him, I don't think.
No, it's not going to be, because the players at the 3 position are much quicker than
some of the
are.
Best athletes in the league.
Some of the best athletes in the league. And not only are they some of the best athletes in the league, but a lot of them are taller than Jabari. And Jabari's a pretty big guy. Now, you take the athleticism in a guy that's taller than you, it's going to be twice as hard. So he has his work cut out for him. And I know, you know, the statement that he made earlier in the year, well, guys don't really get paid to play defense and everything. I think he has to understand that I'm just not going to be able to outscore these guys to win the battle of my position. I have to be able to stop them at some point in the game.
And I think he made an interesting point when we were talking to him about how, you know, he's used to taking the ball out when he was at Milwaukee.
Right, yeah.
He said that Fred does not want that here, because I think, as you just pointed out, Fred understands, okay, when I have my guys on the floor, I got to do what's best to give them an advantage. Mm-hmm. And the advantage for them is to get out and run because of the fact that some of those guys will be bigger. Some of those guys will be just as athletic. So how do you get them on the move? You get them going backwards by looking to attack off the break, and he doesn't want him taking the ball out. He wants him changing ends from defense to offense.
Right.
Everybody loves a good homecoming story. I mean, you like to see a guy who grew up in the city succeed with the professional team in the franchise. Kendall had a chance to play for the Bulls mm-hmm. later on in his career where you were very mature and you knew what your role was going to be coming
right.
in. But Jabari is in a situation where he only has 1 year guaranteed. The mm-hmm. second year of his contract is a team option. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to show something really early on to show that I want to be part of this franchise going forward.
Yeah.
And I sense in him a bit of a reticence to talk much about it because mm-hmm. you know he had the experiences in Milwaukee where he had the two ACL injuries. Mm-hmm. And then the last season he felt like they kind of moved him aside. You know,
right.
it was Giannis's team and mm-hmm. you know, even though the fact that he was the number two pick in the draft back in 2014,
right.
people almost kind of forgot about him. And now he's mm-hmm. trying to prove that I'm still that same guy.
Yeah, and you know, I think, you know, look, prior to the second ACL injury, I thought he was playing at an all-star level. Could have mm-hmm. easily been selected to the all-star team. I think that he believes that he is that same player. I believe that he is that same player. I mean, he showed signs of that last year when he was on the court. But I think that he's looking for an opportunity to show – listen, I am still that guy that could possibly be mentioned in the breath of All-Star. And I think that that's one of his main goals this year, to come in and show everyone that I'm still capable of doing that. Now, he was scoring a lot then, but he better start working on a lot of defensive slides. He better be loose and everything because he is going to have to guard despite what he says about playing defense.
We talked about the dynamic at the center position where Robin Lopez, we're assuming, is going to come into the season as the starter, backed up by top draft pick Wendell Carter Jr. Well, I'm sure you went through this at points in your career when you're a veteran and a young guy comes in. You know, some vets will take him under their wing and try to show them the tricks of the trade and help them in every way possible. Others will kind of go, hey, wait a minute, this guy's going to take food off my table. I'm going to keep him at arm's length. I think Robin will be in the former category where he's going to help him any way he can, but that is going to be a storyline to watch throughout the season.
To a certain extent. I remember I was very fortunate because of how the whole thing with me coming to Chicago went down, with Charles Oakley going to the Knicks and Bill Cartwright in the draft pick coming to Chicago. So we had Bill and myself walking into training camp together. Now, I was the rookie. He was the veteran. And he kind of took me under his wing because he really didn't know anybody. These were all guys he played against, not hung out with. And so I was very fortunate that we kind of became fast friends, and we went to lunch a lot. And I remember talking to him, and he answered a lot of questions. And I remember one day we were having lunch, and I'm just peppering him. And finally he looks up to me, and he goes, listen, I'm only going to tell you so much. You got to figure the rest out by yourself because I still can play this game. So, and I understand we're friends and all, but you're trying to take my position.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to leave yet. And I think Robin Lopez – is doing the same thing. He's going to help out to a certain extent, but I just talked to him. He's talking about, hey, this is only my 11th year.
Mm-hmm.
I plan on, even though my contract's up, I plan on playing 13, 14, 15 years. He's looking for another or two more contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants the opportunity to play to show the other 29 teams that, hey, if I'm not coming back to Chicago or if I'm not in their future plans, I want to show these other teams that I still can play. I don't have to play significant minutes, but I have to play enough that these teams can see that I can fit into what it is they do. Because Kendall and I talk about, we think he's a great guy that can anchor a defense. He's still old school, right? We've seen all these videos in the summer. He's working on his three-point game, but I promise you that's not going to be a good shot
no.
for the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he can rebound. He can play defense. You know, he can facilitate the offense up top as far as pull his man out, throw the ball down the lorry in the post. But Wendell Carter, in my opinion, is obviously the future in the sense that, okay, he's technically undersized from a center's position, but as you heard Fred Hoiberg talk about, today's big man is a guy that can play more than one position and a guy that can really guard players out on the perimeter because everybody likes to switch their defenses, and that's what he showed us he can do in the summer league, was the ability to switch out and guard smaller guys out on the perimeter.
Did you and Bill take Stacy under your wing when he was drafted number one the following year?
No, Stacy thought he knew it all.
Why did I think the conversation was going to go in that direction?
Stacy made the mistake of bringing a video onto the plane one time of him during his final year at Oklahoma when he was an All-American. He's like, look at me, baby. Look at me. All of a sudden, here comes MJ walking up from the back of the plane. I can't tell you what he said because it didn't get bleeped out, but it was probably one of the biggest mistakes that Stacy ever did, was bringing that video on the plane and actually playing it for everybody to show everybody how good he was in college.
Kale, did you ever have an experience, good or bad, with a vet that colored your perception of how this whole thing works?
No, not really.
Because you know, Rex Chapman are still tight, right?
Rex Chapman and I were tight, and we were friends from high school, and that's part of the reason why I was surprised that the Charlotte Hornets drafted me, because they had Rex Chapman and Dale Curry at the two-guard position.
Yeah.
But they drafted me anyway, and, you know, I'm not going to lie and say that there wasn't a little bit of tenseness there when we competed against each other in practice. But I guess they thought that Rex and I would be able to play together. But as a result, I guess I won the battle, because they later on traded Rex to the Washington Bullets. But we still remain friends. And look, if you meet a guy and he's your friend, despite whether you're competing with him for a position or not, he's going to remain your friend. You know, you guys will compete hard against each other, but, you know, the friendship won't be destroyed because of that.
You know, and the interesting thing that Kendall brings that up, and, you know, he's got two boys, I have a son. They play team sports.
Yeah.
And one of the things I'm trying to teach my son is that, and I learned this, you know, because when you're in college, everybody's on the same team. Your friendships, your bonds are a lot stronger in college mm-hmm. than they are in the NBA. But the one thing I always try to teach my son is, listen, it's not about becoming friends with everybody. Earn their respect first. And then once you earn their respect, then you can worry about being their friend. But mm-hmm. earn their respect in the sense that they can trust you on, in my case, it's lacrosse, on the field. And in Kendall's case, you know, boys are playing basketball this year, they're playing football.
Football, yeah.
You know, earn their respect first, worry about being their friend second, and that's the hard part, you know, especially when you get to this level, because it is so competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that, as he talked about, there's that tenseness. I mean, because Bill, even though Bill and I were friends and he would take me out to lunch and all this stuff, I mean, we got into it in practice occasionally because, you know, I'd catch an elbow to the side of the head, I get pissed, elbow him back. You know, and then, of course, the coaches love that
mm-hmm.
because they're like, oh, man, this is competition. This is what it's all about. But, you know, you do that without trying to cross the line, and that's the hard part.
Yeah, I can tell you one training camp, it was my second year in the league, Larry Johnson had been drafted number one. You guys know that J.R. Reed was there as well at the power forward position. I remember Larry Johnson's first practice, he came in and just stared at J.R. Reed at the free throw line. J.R. Reed totally would not look at him. True story. And I was surprised because Larry came in and just said, I'm taking the position. You know, and that's the way it was.
Whether you're on the go or stuck at work late, don't miss a second of your Chicago Bulls. All NBC Sports Chicago games, including pre- and post-games, can be live streamed on the NBC Sports app. Wherever you are, you're there.
You're listening to the Bulls Talk Podcast. We're here at the Advocate Center on Bulls Media Day. I'm Mark Chanowski, joined as always by my Bulls pre- and post-game partners, Will Perdue and Kendall Gill. Let's talk about some storylines around the league. We have to start in Minneapolis.
How do we know you were going to say that?
Jimmy Butler has kind of gone rogue. He's gone off the reservation. He's been excused from Media Day in the first part of training camp because the owner, apparently Glenn Taylor, wants harmony within the organization. And even though Tom Thibodeau doesn't want to trade his best player, it sounds like the owner is kind of forcing his hand, and Jimmy is most likely gone by the end of the week. We've seen the transformation in Jimmy from undervalued 30th pick in the first round out of Marquette to four-time All-Star, you know, to a guy that thinks extremely highly of his abilities. Has Jimmy kind of gone the wrong way this time? Has he gone too far?
I think so. We always talk about, you know, in this case, there's a fine line between confidence and arrogance. I think he's now crossed that line and gone way to the wrong side as far as being as arrogant about how he thinks about himself and where he stands in the hierarchy of the NBA and the players. Even so much as this little petty fight has gone on between him and the other players in Minnesota. I don't know if you saw the one Twitter thing of him that the other day taking his shirt off and wringing it out, and he's talking about, that's effort, that's practice right there. And I'm like, come on, man, really? And to the point where you basically have told the guy that actually brought you along, the guy that believed in you, the guy that helped build you
right.
and make you the player that you are.
No, thanks. I'm moving on.
But basically, and not only that, force him. He was supposed to fly to Minnesota to talk
right,
to them.
Right.
force them to fly out to talk to him so you can tell them, thanks for everything.
Yeah, but I want to be traded to these teams.
Yeah, and not even I want to be traded. I want to be traded to the three following teams that, oh, by the way, max money, max money.
Right.
So he's basically, to me, in a certain sense, has sold himself out, basically telling everybody what exactly he wants and what's most important to him.
Yeah, and I think he's overplayed his hand. You know, I thought that he was overplaying his hand here in Chicago when he was here with the three alphas, and I think that unfortunately he has done so again when he was in a position to be a part of a good team. And despite what Jimmy thinks, Jimmy needs help to win a playoff series. Mm-hmm. He was given the keys to the franchise here for 3 years once Derrick Rose was demoted or once he was traded. And he only got to the playoffs twice out of those three years. Once he did not make the playoffs. And if you can't get a team, if you're a superstar and you can't get a team out of the playoffs, mm-hmm. the first round, then you're not that guy. You need help. He was in a position on a team where he had help. Yes, those guys probably didn't have the strongest work ethic, but sooner or later they would come along. You got a Derrick Rose who had a great playoff last year, who's coming back full strength, and now you want to leave something that possibly could be something special. I just don't understand it. It's not about winning with him.
And whatever organization gets him in a trade, buyer beware, because he's going to take it to free agency looking for that 5-year max contract next year, and we'll see if any team is willing to give it to him. Let's look at other spots around the league. I actually watched a little bit of the NBA TV coverage of Media Day before we came out to the Advocate Center, and they actually had a clip of Kawhi Leonard smiling and even laughing a little bit when he addressed
the media. So he likes Toronto.
In
huh?
Toronto. I don't know if I'd go that far, but I think he's going in there with an open mind.
Okay.
He said he's 100% healthy. There's no restrictions. He's completely recovered from the quad injury. With Kawhi Leonard playing that small forward spot for the Raptors, are they better now than they were with DeMar DeRozan on the team last year?
I really don't know, because Kawhi Leonard, yes, he's one of the top players in the NBA. But is he a Klay Thompson, a guy that can get you 60 or 50? No. He's a guy that can play both ends of the floor, can get you 20 to 25 a night. And then also you're looking at a Kyle Lowry, who's another year older. Serge Ibaka, who's another year older. So, you know, I don't necessarily agree with everybody saying Toronto is one of the teams to watch out for. But, you know, let's see what Kawhi Leonard does. He's had a year off. Will he be rusty? Will he be the same? You never know what's going to happen.
I agree with Kendall, because that's to me, that's kind of like the big unknown as far as in the Eastern Conference. Just how good is this team? Because regardless of what they do in the regular season, because of their history, and even with DeMar DeRozan gone and Kawhi there, they're still going to be, well, we know how they've faltered in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And because of the fact that now
– cost Dwayne Casey his job.
Yeah. And now, so the question is, how does Nurse do with this team? How does their, you know, personality change? And then you also talk about, you know, this situation. Now we're going to really see – how good Kawhi is, because Kawhi was in the perfect situation in San Antonio.
Yeah.
He was in the perfect it was almost like a Tom Brady type situation as far as the offense, the defense, the coach, you know, the system. Now he's in a situation where they're basically going to hand him the keys to not only the team but the organization, because they're going to basically do whatever they can to try to keep him. So how does he respond? And we're going to learn really what type of player he is, because this is now more than just him being a player. This is about him being the face of a franchise.
Well, you mentioned LeBron leaving the East. That most likely will open one playoff spot for a team on the rise. We asked Zach LaVine if the Bulls would make the playoffs. He confidently said yes, no question about it. What do you guys think about the Bulls' playoff chances this year with a very, very young team?
I think it's very probable that they could make the playoffs because they have so much talent, because they have something, not only the players have something to prove, but the coach has something to prove. They all have a dog in this fight. It'd be easier if they didn't, but they all do. And I think that that's what's going to make this team much better.
Listen, I understand, you know, one of Gar's first answers when we had him on today during media day was, well, you know, we're one of the youngest teams. I think we have 12 guys with less than 3 years of experience.
Right.
You know,
and it's a competitive and a developmental season,
right,
which is difficult.
I understand they're trying to keep the expectations low, but in my opinion, if they don't make the playoffs, then something's gone wrong somewhere because of the fact of the talent that they have. They're currently healthy. Now, that something's gone wrong means that somebody, unfortunately, could get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And that could seriously, you know, hinder their ability to make the playoffs. But, you know, we got players with something to prove. We got a coach with something to prove. We got guys that have signed contracts. We got guys that still feel like they can play in the league and have to prove themselves for contracts next year. There's a lot of moving parts. So it's more than just about the product on the floor. I mean, it's also about the ability of this team to coexist together in the locker room, on the plane, in hotels. And I always talk about, this is the hardest part, sacrifice, because everybody on this team, even Zach LaVine to Dunn to Jabari, all these guys that we know have something to prove, are going to have to sacrifice something for the betterment of the team. And are they truly willing to do that? And that's the question we don't know. We all know that they want to win and they want to prove themselves, but it's not always about the individual just going out there and doing what's best for him.
Well, one thing we're pretty confident about is that with so many young athletic players on the squad, this should be a fun group to watch. They
yep.
should be capable of scoring a lot of points. We'll see how they hold up on the defensive end. Remember, for all 82 regular season games, Will, Kendall, and I will be here for Bulls pre- and post-game coverage, so stay with us throughout the season. We're looking forward to the start of 2 days at the Advocate Center coming up starting on Tuesday. It should be a fun year ahead. We can't wait to get rolling. Thanks for listening to the Bulls Talk podcast. We'll be coming at you again real soon.